Well, good morning. I like this, Jared. I like having the opportunity to preach what, for lack of a better term, I would call the New Year's message, the end of one year and beginning of the next. I like that. It's a great opportunity, great privilege. Thank you. Well, here we are at the threshold of a new year. And with that, people typically tend to be or want to be a positive and thinking about resolutions and plans and fresh slate and all those kind of things. But the reality is, though your year may be really, really good, we're all going to face adversity during it. So as I prayed and thought about what to share today, the Lord laid adversity on my heart. How to deal with adversity, since we're all going to face it. We're all going to deal with it to some extent. Now, one of the great children's books, I don't know if you read many children's books, but one of the great children's books of all time is entitled Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It was written by a lady by the name of Judith Vorst. I'm going to read an excerpt from that book. Because Alexander understood adversity. I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. So after a terrible day at school and a horrible visit with the dentist and a no-good stop at the shoe store, Alexander slumps in his chair at supper time. There were lima beans for dinner, and I hate limas. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. My bath was too hot, and I got soap in my eyes, and my marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad train pajamas, and I hate my railroad train pajamas. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And I think I'll move to Australia. Alexander understood adversity. So, along with our preparations for the new year, whatever they may be, it might be a good idea for us to make some preparations for facing adversity. We're going to look at 5 points today. I've alliterated them so they'll be easier to remember. Each one of them is going to begin with a P, but each one of them stands as a key to helping us deal with adversity in the coming year. The first one is prayer. Prayer. James wrote, "The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect." The prayer of a righteous person, that's a person who is in right relationship with the Lord, is very powerful. Jesus prayed, and he taught his disciples to pray, and he commanded us to pray and gave us a model of prayer in Matthew 6. And in Luke 18:1, it says, "Now he told them the parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up." Prayer is important. My wife was a person of prayer. And if she were here, she might be able to share with you that she learned how important prayer was 55 years ago when I was in Vietnam. She said that she would listen to the news at night, which was probably her first mistake, and they would report on all the battles going on and the casualties that were being incurred. And she said it was making her crazy. Until finally, her eyes fell upon Philippians 4:6-7. "Don't worry about anything, but pray in everything. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. By the way, I like that word guard. In the original language, it means stand guard. The Lord will stand guard at our heart if we don't worry about anything but pray about everything. She said she committed herself to this verse. This became her verse. And she said, there is no other explanation. I had peace. I stopped worrying about where you were, stopped worrying about what battles were taking place, and I just had peace. No other explanation for it but the Lord. Prayer, adversity. Second, promises. God has given us some marvelous promises to always be with us, to guide us and protect us and supply our needs, not the least of which is heaven, forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and so on. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By these He has given us very great and precious promises. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 6, gives us more information about those promises. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for us in heaven. For you are being guarded by God's power. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer great grief in various trials. There's a hymn that we used to sing when I was growing up and through much of my life. It's entitled Standing on the Promises. I like what it says. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. And then the chorus is, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, not falling, not lying down, not sitting, standing on those promises. That keeps us going. That sees us through our adversities. So prayer, and then relying upon and trusting in God's promises. Third, patience. Prayer, promises, and patience. Now I'm going to pick on my kids a little today. They're here, and so I can. I'll hear about it later, I'm sure. When Scott, my boy, was a little preschooler, one day he decided he didn't like the milk that was in his glass, and he poured it out on the table so he could put lemonade in it. And while my wife was cleaning that up, he disappeared to the laundry room where he found detergent and poured it out on the floor. And then he found a 5-pound bag of flour and decided it would make a great sand pile for him. As my wife was tracking him around the house and cleaning up one mess after another, he went upstairs and unscrewed every light bulb he could reach. Now, if you know my son a little bit, that explains a lot. But it also explains how my wife and I became very patient people, as every mother and father here is as well. Patience. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Like sports, or school, or work, or music, or art, patience is required before excellence can be achieved. Again, another one of the old hymns I've sung much of my life, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still." Patient. Patience. "Lord, I don't understand what's happening right now. I don't want it to be happening. I want it to be over. Do something." The prayer of a righteous man is of great effect. And patience is often necessary to wait for the answer. Prayer, promises, patience. Fourth, perseverance. Being a person of perseverance. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Now I'm going to read to you from the Message, which is a paraphrase of the scripture, of the translation. But I like the way the paraphrase is stated when it talks about this particular subject. Perseverance. Listen to these words. "I'm not saying," Paul is writing here, "that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning me onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back." That's perseverance. Paul understood perseverance. One of the most important things we can do in our life of faith is persevere. In what is called Paul's last will and testament, 2 Timothy. So after he had written about his goal and his intent to persevere, toward the end of his life, he wrote these words, which would be that each of us could say this when the end has come. "I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith." That's perseverance. I think my eldest, Christy, would remember that at our first pastorate, we lived in a house that was quite a ways off the street, probably 75 or 80 feet. And it was wintertime and it snowed. And it snowed enough to make a snowman. So I got the kids out there and we built a nice big snowman. We were proud of it. I mean, it had the carrot in the nose and the charcoal eyes and the whole thing. I don't understand, but that night, and I said we're quite a distance off the street, that night, some guy drove off, it was a fairly busy street in front of our house, drove off the street, mowed the snowman down, and went right back out in the street. We got up the next morning like, what? But I like teachable moments. So I got the kids up and I said, we're going to rebuild that snowman. We're not going to put up with this. So we went out and rebuilt the snowman. Just as good, if not better, than the first time. Guess what happened that night? I guess the same guy drove off the street, plowed our snowman down, back into the street. I'm undaunted. I am going to teach those kids perseverance. We got out and built another snowman, just as good as the other. Guess what happened? It got really warm that day and it melted. Second Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary and light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Perseverance. Prayer, promises, patience, perseverance. The fifth one, praise. There needs to be a good part of praise in your life, not just on Sundays. There needs to be praise in your life every day. Help see you through the day. Help give you the proper attitude. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The difference between being these things and not praying and standing on promises and being patient and persevering and praising, the difference is the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. We all understand that a thermometer is reactive to what's going on around it. Goes up, goes down. We, many times, it's the human nature to be a lot like a thermometer. Good day, up, bad day, down. Good day, bad day, good day, bad day. But when we praise the Lord, when we employ these basic keys that we've been talking about today, we can be a thermostat spiritually, which means rather than being impacted by our surroundings up and down and up and down and up and down, we can impact our surroundings. And that's what God wants from us, to be a spiritual thermostat. Because everybody else, it seems, is being a thermometer. My youngest, Holly, she thought she was going to get left out of this. I got three kids. I'm giving them equal time today. My youngest, when she was a little preschooler, came home from Sunday school one week, and she had learned a new song, and that song totally understood what it meant to praise the Lord. And I'm going to repeat the words of the song to you, but I'm going to say them just like she sang them when she came home as a little preschooler from Sunday school, having learned a new song. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty said, amen! God could put me back together again. Now that's understanding praise. Band, you can come up. We're all going to face adversity in 2026. I don't mean to bring you down. Actually, I think the Lord's intending to bring us up today by saying, you know, as we prepare to face our adversities of the new year, think about prayer, promises, patience, perseverance, and praise. It'll make a difference to how you respond to things. 55 years ago, right now, I was in Vietnam. And Vietnam, it's either dry or it's wet. It's never cold. It didn't look like Christmas. It didn't feel like Christmas. And there were people who loved me who tried to help me through Christmas. Fortunately, I wasn't out in a rice paddy. I was stationed next to one of their major air bases there. And so I had friends from Germany who sent me a cake. And it took it so long to get there that by the time it got there, a third of it was green. And I don't mean they iced it green. I mean, it just was green. My wife sent me a little Christmas tree that you wound up and it went around and played a Christmas song. Second time I played it, it stopped playing. It broke. That was it. All I had was a little tree and it wouldn't do anything. There was one night a few days before Christmas that I was so discouraged. I went walking downtown Saigon, which is now Ho Chi Minh City, but it was then the capital of South Vietnam. And it probably wasn't all that smart of a thing to go walking at night in the capital city of Saigon, but I just had to get away. I was just walking. And as I walked off in the distance, I heard music. And so I began to move in the direction of the music. And the closer I came to the music, the more I recognized this is religious music. And by the time I got to the place where the music was coming from, it was a church. And in the church, they were doing Handel's Messiah. Can you imagine? In Saigon, during wartime, Handel's Messiah. I went inside and sat down and wept through the whole rest of the service. Why have I told you this? I've told you this because God is able to find you wherever you are in your adversity. God is able to touch your life. Maybe today you're in the midst of one of the greatest adversities you've experienced in a long time. God is able to find you there. God loves us. He shows us that time and time again. And we can show Him our love and our faith by employing these keys we've talked about today. And by being people of the Word. God loves you. God bless you. God bless you with a wonderful and happy new year.